This is super special. Thank you to everybody for making the effort. And thank you for hosting. And I'm sorry that it took the circumstance that it is for me to be here in this moment. But thank you for arranging. And the theme that I want to talk about really, it really relates both to the situation that exists right now for Am Yisrael, but also really relates to everyone at this table and how I feel about everyone at this table. So my Hebrew is not great. Maybe I need ulpan. But I'm going to ask you if the following grammar observation ever crossed your mind, if there's some truth to it. And I'm going to ask you about this grammar observation because I think it gets to the heart of of our goal in Yiddishkeit, of all of our life, of emuna, which is of course the bedrock of everything. The Gemara says in the end of Makos that Chavakuk distilled Judaism all to the tzaddik be'emunaso yichya, that this idea of emuna comes back to a word. And I don't know if this is true in Hebrew, but I think that this makes sense. In Hebrew there is a word that is associated with friendship. And it's a particular type of friendship, a closeness between people. And it could be that I'm totally making this up, but the word yidid is made up of two yads. Is that true? Like, right? Do they say that's true? So it occurred to me, I didn't see this anywhere, but it just seems to me as an outsider, like as a Ben Chutzlar, it's like, that makes sense. Like, you're the authorities on this. I mean, I don't know. It's like Ben Yehuda. How many ulpans have you had? The whole idea of, the whole idea of yedidus, of having a yedid, is that you have people who are holding hands. That's why there's an expression in Hebrew, yedidei nefesh. People are very close. They're referred to as yedidim. And I was thinking about this idea because of a sefer that I wanted to share with you. This is a new edition of an old sefer, and it's an extraordinary sefer. The sefer is called Olam HaYedidus, the world of friends, Bein Sheshes LaAsor, between Sheshes and Asor. This is a Jeopardy question. What is the reference here between Sheshes and Asor? And? That's right. So there was a very prominent, significant Torah personality living in Israel during that period. He grew up in a secular family, was educated in a secular German context, and then when he was in university, became interested in Yadus and became a Baal Tshuva and went to Yeshiva in Eastern Europe and became very connected with the Mashkiach of Mir and spent the war years at a friend's house in Sweden, which is why he survived the war. His name was Rav Shlomo Wolbe. And Rav Wolbe moved to Israel after the war and he became a preeminent Mashkiach. He had a tremendous influence on countless students. He was very into the Musar movement, the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. And what happened, Bein Sheshes LaAsor? There was a tremendous tshuka, there was a thirst in Israeli society for Judaism, for people to become connected. And so Rav Shlomo Wolbe went around to different army bases and groups of soldiers giving talks about Judaism to Chilonim. And he collected them and he published them. And it was republished last year in this very nice volume. The old one is harder to read. And in the back, they tell you exactly when these were given. The first one that we're going to reflect on tonight, the Olam HaYedidus, was given in a Chug Ktzinei Mevchan in Tel Aviv, in Cheshvan, Tavshin Chavtes. And then he talked about it in Kibbutz Chulda and Teves. And then another group of Ktzinim, and then another group, and this one is in here and there, and then in journals. And it's an amazing thing that a man of Rav Volbe's pedigree, or his, I guess you would say, where he socially found himself, he was able to reach Jews across the spectrum, and people sought out, secular Israeli soldiers sought out what he had to offer. And he has an idea that relates to this Nakuda of Yedidus, which I think fits similarly to something that I think Rabbi Sachs and others talk about, that when you look at people, he says, you look at people around you in the street and you say, is that person, he has this in a later essay that was also in front of a course Katsinium, he says, you ask yourself, does that person have emuna? You don't know, all kinds of people. I was on an army base today, had a lot of soldiers. I asked someone, how many soldiers are in this base? They say, you're not allowed to ask that question. Apparently that's a secret. I can go around taking pictures of everybody and everything, but you can't ask them how many soldiers are on the base. Don't tell. So you ask the people there, how many people there have emuna? So you had a lot of people with kippot, and you had people with tzitzis, and you had people without that, and you had people with all kinds of piercings, everything kind of thing. And Rav Volbe says everybody has emuna. He says that the underpinning of society is emuna. Because emuna means trust. The nature of relationships, even just commercial relationships, it's predicated on trust. You place an order, you trust that the person on the other end is going to execute the order. You ask them to do it, you assume that they did it. No. Oh, sorry. Fine, let's pick another example. Another example. All right.
You're new here.
Good, okay. I can say Lashon Hara. So he says, everything in life, all of life, is based on emuna and people trusting each other. You trust that the person who's generally observing the stoplights is going to stop at the red light, because that's the sense of trust that we have. And v'chayina v'chayina, all the interactions that we have socially are predicated on emuna, because there is this part of ourselves, even if a person says that they're a total heretic, there's a part of themselves that believes in something transcendent. And this is what Rabbi Sachs talks about and others, that the idea of a feeling or an idea that transcends something physical, like love or friendship, you can't put your finger on it. That's not something that's physical. It's something that's intangible. So you ask somebody, do you believe in God? I don't know exactly how to answer that question, what that really means. But you could ask them, do you believe in love? Do you believe in friendship? So of course you have friendship. I have friends. I have Yedidim. And I know what that feels like. It's an experience. If somebody dropped from outer space and they said, what does it mean that you're friends with... I don't know how you would explain that to them. Because of course there are certain things that you have in common, but it's about a feeling of connection. And that really is the underpinning of Yedidus, of friendship. It's based on trust, it's based on emuna, on a shared feeling and an experience. And so where is the breakdown in life? Where's the challenge? It's what he called achzarius, like the zar, feeling. Zar means estranged. It means estranged, but it means estranged from someone. Feeling a lack of yedidus. Rav Kook might say, on the biggest level of life, there's a lack of yedidus, a lack of friendship, a lack of connection. There's a breakdown. Even at the time of creation, there was a breakdown. Rav Kook points out what the Rambam Shlom, we don't exactly understand what this means, but the Rambam Shlom said there should be eight pri. When you take a bite out of the eights, it should taste like the pre. But that's not what happened. Vatotze ha'aretz eitz oseh pri. You take a bite, it doesn't take like the fruit, tastes like the fruit. There's now a disconnect. There's a zarus. There's an estrangement between the tree and the fruit. That's just a metaphor for the breakdowns that exist in life. That there's an estrangement, there's a lack of yedidus. There's an expression that appears in Kabbalah, it's called sometimes in Hasidus, that we live in a world that's called the Alma de Piruda. Literally translated as the world of Piru, the fragmented world. That the goal of life is that we should be together, that we should feel together, we should feel a sense of yedidus. And yet, so often, we feel that sense of distance. What's the goal? What's the goal of everything? The goal of all of existence is Geula. Geula, you know what Geula is, you know where you can benchmark it when you have a checklist. You could say, we have officially accomplished Geula, and the good news is we've gotten that checklist on the night of the Seder. If you pay attention, the Alachas Kama V'Kama, the Dayenu, is the checklist of going from, you know, wreck, disaster on a substantive level to this is the end of the story. So we start in Mitzrayim, and where do we end? Hechnisanu le'eretz Yisrael and banolanu es beis habechira. We come to Israel, everybody settles, they build the beis hamikdash. That's geula. That's ichud, that's yedidus. So this is the idea that the Gemara expresses in Gemara and Menachos that Rav Volbe quotes here. It's a beautiful, beautiful Gemara. It's also a song. There's some made into a song. Yavo Yedid Ben Yedid V'yivne Yedid L'Yedid B'chelko Shel Yedid V'yiskapru Bo Yedidim. It's like a tongue twister. So the Gemara says, what does that phrase mean? Yavo Yedid. Who should come? Shlomo HaMelech is referred to as a Yedid. How Shlomo HaMelech referred to as a Yedid? What's the, what is it called? What's the eighth grade Tanakh thing? What was it called? Chidon. The Chidon question. How is Shlomo HaMelech referred to as a Yedid? Anybody know? Because he had another name. It was Yedidya. So Yavo Yedid, Shlomo HaMelech should come. Ben Yedid, the son of Avram Avinu. Because the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Ma li yedidi bevesi. In that case, it's in a very sad context when Avram Avinu comes to the Baal Shem and says, where's my Beis HaMikdash? Where's your house? So Avram Avinu is called the Yedid, the friend. V'yivne Beis HaMikdash, because it says, Ma yedidus. You ever notice that on Friday night? Ma yedidus minuchasech. What is he talking about? It's talking about the Beis HaMikdash. It's a place for friends. It's like a Bnei Akiva hangout. It's a Noam hangout, right? It's like, that's what it was. That's what, Ma yedidus minuchasech. The place of that, it's really Ma yedidus mishkan osayach. The mishkan was the place, so to speak, we hung out with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We were friends. V'yivne yedid li yedid. Who is the ultimate yedid with a capital Yud? It's the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's our best friend. He's always there with us. Ashira na li yedidi. So Rashi, the Gemara, Rashi interprets every line. Who is it for? Yedid li yedid. We're going to build a Beis HaMikdash for Hashem. Bechelko shel yedid. Whose chelik is the Beis HaMikdash in? Why? What does it say? Yes. That's right. The Baal Kori shout out. Right? So Rav Volbe says so beautifully, he says, this captures everything about Judaism. Judaism is a religion of yedidus, of two yadayim. That's what it's all about. And I'm imagining him standing in front of these chayalim with their green fatigues and their cargo pants and their M16s and having him explain to them that the or of Yadus is Yedidus, and having that resonate with someone who is like living Yedidus, mamish, like the camaraderie that's created in the environment that the soldiers are in. It's like the deepest level of Yedidus. It's tremendous Yedidus. Right? They call it a Yechidah, I think, right? A unit is called Yechidah. It's like Yichud. So Rav Volbe is saying to them, what we want to create, what we religious and spiritual people are seeking, is an Olam of Yedidus. And he said, that's why I want to call this book Olam HaYedidus. Because that's what we're trying to create. Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam give us a mission of being an Am HaNivchar? Why were we chosen? What is our mandate? What's the whole point of everything? So the Sforno explains, it says, look, we all know that there are three strikes, and then you're out. That's what the Sforno says. He preceded baseball by a few centuries, but basically, the Sforno says, the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, and he says, I want to see an Alma de Ichud. I want to see an Olam HaYedidus, in the words of Rav Volbe. And what happens? Two brothers, one kills the next one. So Ribbono Shel Olam says, okay, that's not very good. Let's give you a second. Let's try another thing. We'll give it to Nachamon, and then the end of Parshas Bereishis. People are stealing, they're plundering, they're marauding. Ribbono Shel Olam says, okay, we're going to take out the hose, and we're going to hose it down, and we're going to try one more time. And then, in the Dor HaFlaga, we have another, it's a lot of different ways to understand that story. It's another failure of society to create any kind of Yedidus. There's an amazing pshat in the Netziv who says that the Dor HaFlaga, that tower, the tower in the Migdal Bavel, was a surveillance tower. And that Nimrod was the first tyrannical despot. And he said, it's my way or the highway. And I'm going to supervise. Everybody has to live like that. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, that's not Yedidus. That's not a world of togetherness. That's a world of oppression. So Ribbono Shel Olam says, it's not going to work. It's three strikes and you're out. So who appears on the scene immediately after the Dor HaFlaga? That's right, Avraham Avinu. So Ribbono Shel Olam says, Avraham Avinu, okay, not everybody in the world is able to create an Olam HaYedidus. So I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a family and you're going to model an Olam of Yedidus, a world of friends. And I'm going to give you special mitzvos. And those mitzvos are ways of expressing and developing friendship. In particular, there are certain mitzvos like Shabbos or Mila or Tefillin that are referred to as an os. What is an os? It's like, remember the little kids, the girls, if you're friends with somebody, you get half a thing, you get a necklace that has half, and somebody else gets half until they're in a fight, then they don't know what to do with it. You know what I'm talking about? Isn't there a thing like that? You get a locket, someone gets one half, someone gets the other half. Friendship necklace, shkayach. You see where I'm holding. Hila is still only 10, so I'm not a bucky in this yet. But I could get trained. So what's the point of a friendship necklace? It's an oath. So Ribbono Shel Olam says, I want to be your friend. I want to have a friendship necklace. So I'm going to give you an oath. I'm going to give you Shabbos and Mila. And these are reminders that we're friends. He says, that's the whole world that Yiddishkeit, that Yahadus is trying to create. And we're going to try to foster an environment of that kind of Yedidus. And then he talks, of course, about other levels of Yedidus and lack of Yedidus, of Achzarius, of estrangement, of people being estranged from themselves. You know, when Adam HaRishon, when he ate from the Eitz Hadas, what did the Ribbono Shel Olam ask him? He said to him, Ayeka. So Rav Kook says, what that means, Rav Kook writes, he says, it means Eifo Ani Shalcha. It's like a contraction. And what did Adam Rishon say? It's like a traditional adolescent. Right? I don't know. He didn't even know how to answer who is his Ani, who is his I. He became estranged from his own self. He became a czar. There was a czarist. There was an estrangement, Rav Kook explains, from his own self. When a person betrays their inner truths, when they're in their inner values, so then there's no more internal yedidus. There's no more wholeness and feeling like, you know, I'm good. Because a person doesn't feel good. Adam Rishon starts running for the bushes because he didn't know what to do with himself. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, who told you didn't, like, like it's zarus. It's estrangement from a person's self, and then of course there's estrangement from God. And the most obvious is the estrangement from other people. You know, even in our own time, we've seen some very, very difficult, and I saw it from afar, and I'm sure you saw it very, very close. What did they say? Ba'ar Ba'inayim? That's what they say, how close it was. I don't know how close it was to the road over here, but terrible zaros, people feeling totally estranged from each other. And the Gemara says that in the Tekufa of Achav, Achav was a, you know, first class Russia, as the Gemara says. But somehow Achav, he was able to conquer all of the vicissitudes. Why? Yeah, because people had Yedidus. There was an Olam of Yedidus. Somehow this guy, who was a total Achzar, somehow he was able to foster a sense of Yedidus. And I think that's really, in other words, what we're talking about is the vision of Geula. Geula is Achdus, it's an Olam of Yedidus. It's that vision. And a person can live. I saw this, I think it was in the writings of Yechiel Michel Charlap. Excuse me, no, Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap. He says a person can live in a world of Geula even if it's not built on the outside yet. Because if you look at other people and you see Yedidim, that's the language we're using. If you look at yourself and you see a Yedid, you look at the Ribbono Shel Olam and you see a Yedid, so then you're living in an Olam of Yedidus. I was practicing the last little tekufa, a particular Kabbalah that I'm working on, that I worked on just for a couple of months since Yom Kippur, to try to remember, not every day it works, but once a day, especially during davening, to imagine that I'm looking at the Ribbono Shel Olam in the eyes. So I imagine, like, do you remember the Warner Brothers, those big oblong white eyes with the big black, like the cartoon eyes? So that's what I imagine, because I don't know what else to imagine that the Ribbono Shel Olam has eyes. But I imagine that I'm looking at those cartoon eyes, and I'm looking at the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the vision of the Olam HaYedidus, and a person can live that. And we know there are people who live like that. They just see the Yedidus, the love. They have trust in other people. We might be suspicious. They're not suspicious. They have so much Yedidus. The Yedidus in their car, it's almost like, for a lot of us, we're like skeptical of it. We're like, where's the catch? Like, what? Like, no, you can't be serious. Like, you're really going to give me your car for my 17-year-old to drive carpool? Like, really? Like, but there are people who live in that Olam of Yedidus. When they see other Jews, they don't know the difference, one Jew or another Jew. I was sitting tonight in the room of a guy from the Tzanchanim, and I remember the number. It was decorated with all the flags. And this guy, his father was explaining to me, he's the commander, he's the trainer of the commanders. He's like a commander, sheba commander. It's like chesed, sheba chesed. He's like the mefaked, shalom mefakdim. And Nebuch, he needs a serious refuah shleima. So the father is flipping through his phone, and he didn't look like the kind of people who, you know, would necessarily know such a person. But he says, oh, you have to see, I guess, because he saw I was a religious person. He says, you got to see this picture, great picture. Who is there? Rav Yitzchak David Grossman is hanging out with them in their room. I said, how did you? He's like, oh, we're good friends. Because Rav Yitzchak David Grossman, the disco rabbi, it lives in the Olam of Yedidus. He doesn't go and tell a Shomer and notice what's on the outside. He only sees the Olam of Yedidus. He only sees the inside. And it's like the Tzaddik or Bari Levin and so many, so many others, that they live in the Olam of Yedidus. Everybody's their friend. Why shouldn't you be their friend? Like, it doesn't, like, I'm sure if it's like David Grossman, like, it wouldn't, like, this would be a very weird discussion. He probably would not understand this discussion. Like, what are we talking about over here? Because he lives in that world of Yedidus. He lives in a world of Geula where people just get along. They can love each other. They can be friends. They can hold Yadayim. And that's really, I think, what we're what we're trying to create in this tekufa and what I see around this table. I see yedidim, even if I haven't seen you so recently, but I feel that sense of yedidus, and I think that's what all of Am Yisrael feels right now. We feel a sense of yedidus with other people. We feel a sense, and you see it here probably a zillion times a day, we see it from afar to a lesser extent, but that people want to express their yedidus. So I have a guy who's WhatsApping me. Now I have WhatsApp, so it's like I can communicate in the 21st century. So he's WhatsApping me. I didn't even get to listen to it yet tonight, but he WhatsApped me earlier in the week when I was on the plane on my way to Boston to get to Israel. So he has a WhatsApp group with 800 lone soldiers, this guy, and he's moving stuff from here and there. He's in Lakewood, but he has a son who was a lone soldier, the whole thing. So then this morning I get a call on my WhatsApp from a woman because he told me there's somebody who's going to deliver. This woman has 17 boxes makeup and cosmetics that somebody put together in memory of Chaim Lubin's cousin, Shem Yikom Dama, Schus Yogan Aleinu, that should be delivered to Chayalot on bases in her memory. So, because I told him, I think maybe on Friday I'm going to go to the north. So this woman calls me. She says, I have 17 boxes. You could pick them up. And then this afternoon, he's WhatsApping me about getting the chalent. So I'm leaving Friday morning at 7 o'clock. I say, yeah, you could pick it up on the way. You're going to get the chalent. Where does this come from? Where did this come from? Right? But this is, I think this is living in the olam of yedidus, where you're not asking, well, do they go to my shul? Are they part of my... No, it's we're all yedidim. We're living and we're trying to create an olam of yedidus. And that is really what I feel is the tachlis of my being here. You know, I got up today in this army base called Lachish, which is a huge army base. And as you know by now, I'm not shy. So I went around, I brought a few hundred letters from kids from all over the neighborhood, all over Chicago. So I'm going to every soldier, I'm explaining to them. So finally I figured this is not very efficient. I got through like 75 guys. So here's what I'm going to do. So I get one of the guys to, you know, clank the glass and the whole place gets quiet. Why not? What are they going to do? Court-martial me? I'm not an army. But what's the worst thing they're going to do? So they have a gun. Okay, but they're not. So I said in my best attempt at Hebrew, I said, I'm here, I came from Chicago, I landed yesterday, and I'm only here for one reason. To tell you that we care about you, we are thinking of you, we're supporting you, we love you, and we want you to feel that we're with you. It's the olam of yedidus. I was walking out of the hospital tonight on the way, and I passed a bunch of guys, I think they looked like Magavnikim, it was dark, but it was a whole bunch of them standing in the courtyard. So I did the same thing. I couldn't go one at a time and say Shalom Aleichem, I was running late already. But I said, I just want you all to know that we care. And that's why 290,000 people went to Washington last week. You know, there were 6 buses from Chicago, 15 hours each way, they sat on the bus. I was on the plane in the morning. I was on the plane at night. I was home by 7:30. I don't know if I can handle that anymore. But if you live in an olam of yedidus, of what Rav Volbi is describing here, then that is totally normal, because the Nishmas Yisrael is in a state of tzar. So of course you're gonna show up. You're gonna do whatever you can. And so even if maybe your wife is maybe nervous about the kind of judgments you're going to make when you're not supervised, she still lets you go because she believes in the olam of yedidus to some extent that we'll talk about afterwards once I get home. Yeah. Actually, she does not have emuna in this judgment. Let's be very clear about that. She knows. Where exactly?
I think they have some stories to do. Yeah.
But I think that's really, in a certain sense, that's the calling of right now, is to be able to call it out and say, Ribono Shel Olam, you tasked us with living Judaism, of creating an Olam of Yedidus. And that's what we're trying to do. And even though, as Rav Soloveitchik explains in the Hakdama to his Lonely Man of Faith, he says, sometimes it feels like the Ribbono Shel Olam is not our Yedid. It doesn't feel very Yedidistic. It doesn't feel like that. But we have to remind ourselves that a person who has emunah, who is a Yedid, understands that there are things that we don't get. And we'll never get them in this world. We'll never understand them. And we have to redouble our efforts to remember that the Ribbono Shel Olam is our Yedid. And that's the place, Rav Soloveitchik explains, that we feel like the Ribbono Shel Olam turns away from us, and yet at the same time we feel like the Ribbono Shel Olam is embracing us. The Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Rosh Hashanah that the reason why you don't say Hallel is because it's a tense day. The Rambam writes, Umanos, Manos means, Lanus means, run away. Umivrach, what is Levroach? A love. That's the Lashon of the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos. On Yom HaRoim, we feel like we're running away from the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're scared. But where do we run? We run right back to him. Umanos umivrach elav. So sometimes when you have yedidus, it's hard. It's difficult to understand. But if we're living in that olam of yedidus, when there's the emuna, when there's the trust, so we say, I don't understand. I can't understand it. I can't. But we still have our emuna. We still have our yedidus, and we're going to amplify that. So all the osos, it's unbelievable. I don't know what you're hearing, but we're hearing like the number of people who are asking for the os of tefillin is mind-blowing. On the bus today, all day, the guys are doing the tzitzis. We're waiting this weekend. Someone is driving to New York. They're going to pick up for us for the kol, 160 boxes, 160 pairs of begadim and tzitzis. We're going to start getting people making tzitzis. Because even in this difficult period of crisis, people, they want to deepen that yedidus. Obviously, we see it ben adam l'chaveru, but it's also true ben adam l'makom. How many more people are trying to take time for davening and tilim zogin and mitzvos and masim tovim? Because we feel, and maybe this is now speculative, but we feel like there's a need for the olam of yedidus. Maybe it's the ikvus of the Mashiach. You know, when I asked Rav Schechter about this, he said, maybe this is the Melchemes Gogol Magog. Maybe this is the end. You know, we've been waiting for the ultimate geula, for the Olam HaYedidus for a long time. The Chafetz Chaim already said 100 years ago that we're getting close to Mashiach. So whether or not the Mashiach is here or not here, maybe that's not even the Halacha L'maisa issue. The Halacha L'maisa issue is, are we living in the Olam of Yedidus? And I think it's the same environment that Rav Olda gave this talk is the type of calling that we have, and not to lose that. To make sure that we always maintain an olam of yedidus, even when it gets hard. We see it's hard with the Ribbono Shel Olam, but people are doubling down. People are leaning in, they're doing more. The emunah is stronger. Amazing. And of course, in the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And I think that each one of us, we have that capacity to build our olam of yedidus. But the Ribbono Shel Olam is expecting of us. And of course, the only place to do that is right here. This is the only place. There's no other olam. There's only one olam. Right? That's in Eretz Yisrael. And so I just say, kol hakavod to the incredible, intrepid effort that you guys have made to make this your home, and everything that you are doing to model and to build an olam of yedidus in this place that we should all aspire to come to and look to, and to realize that we are your yedidim even if we haven't quite made it yet. We're with you. And I'm sure there are a lot of struggles. Obviously, there are the micro prati individual struggles, but there are also the macro struggles. And you shouldn't feel that, God forbid, we are the achzor. We're not strangers. We're yedidim. And we'll always be there. And even if it's people who we don't know, Baruch Hashem, in this table, we're all mamash yedidim. But even if it's those soldiers, you know, driving back last night from this undisclosed location, very, very, very far south, like Khan Yunis far south, we stopped on the side where I told the guy, I said, stop, I have to get out, I have to give them cookies and like, total strangers, but they have to know that we're all one, that we're living with the world of Emunah and the world of Yedidus, and hopefully we'll be zocha to merit really seeing the Geula Shleima of Amitas, to see the Olam of Yedidus, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, that Yedid that the Gemara describes to us is the tzipia. That's the promise that we're going to get to, the Olam HaYedidus. We should see it in our day. Shukran.
Thank you.
So special. Oh, yes.